My guest for today is Aaron Bibelhauser. Aaron has been a guest many times. He lives down the road from me in Louisville, about an hour and a half max, unless you get stuck in traffic. And he's done that before on the way, but he stayed true. And six hours later, Aaron and I were chatting. That didn't happen this time. He made it right away. We met for lunch, talked about the Bibelhauser brothers. And more importantly, we talked about Wolf Pen Branch at the time. At the beginning of the program today, you heard from the Bibelhauser brothers, brand new release from them. Remember Me, Aaron has a twin brother. And Wolf Pen Branch is another musical group that Aaron is involved in. We're going to hear Born Again, and we're going to talk to Aaron for, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. We were going to have lunch, so we were kind of in a hurry. And after that, we'll go back to Wolf Pen Branch with Then I'm Gone, which is the latest release from that effort. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Always happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass my Kentuckian brother. Some people think he's my son.
I always said you're more like a creepy uncle.
Aaron Bibelhauser. Aaron came up to see me today, and we've had lunch, and I figured, well, we could chat a little bit about what's going on in Aaron's world.
Yeah, man, it's so good to be back here visiting again.
It's always good.
Been years.
Well, even if you take out those 2 years in between, still been a year or two.
Yeah, totally.
We were talking. I know. I want you to talk a little about Wolf Pen Branch and other things you're working on, but you got a lot going on. It seems to me like, just from our lunch conversation, that you're getting busier.
Hustling. Yeah, all things music related these days. I've kind of sidelined most of my day job career for a while, which is good, hopefully permanently. but hustling up and down the road a bunch with a band that I kind of helped start right during the onset of the pandemic, and we're just kind of coming into our own now that most of that stuff is behind us. Wolf Pen Branch is a Kentucky-based band. There's three of the five of us were sort of front people for our own bands before we all came together. So lots of leadership, lots of personalities, lots of singers. They're all three solid singers and songwriters in the band, and it's great working with these guys.
Well, I want to ask you about different leaders coming in, for the same study. How do you deal with those guys?
You know what? We've all talked, we joke about it from time to time, like as if we the thing that makes it work is the fact that there's really not a lot of ego going on, even though there's plenty of personality and drive. You know, we're all very driven to contribute our portions of the work that happens on stage and off stage, but we're kind of lucky. I think we're all at a point in our careers and in our lives in general. We joke about it that if we were in our 20s, we might have a little bit harder time doing this and being a cohesive unit.
But if in your 20s,
right. There would definitely be more personality conflicts. But right now, everything. We just, first of all, we all love each other. We love working together, going up and down the road, and making music is you know, I know it sounds cliche, it's about the journey and not the destination, but it's very much true. So getting to make music with these guys and work together is the reward itself, you know, in itself. So
I know you've been busy. I see you pop up all over the place, Wolf Pen Branch, and I know you have some new music. First, tell me who's in the band. So I know sure.
Yeah.
What would you consider the normal constituency of the band?
Wolf Pen Branch is made up of the core of the group would be Arthur Hancock. He was longtime front person singer with the Wooks, another Kentucky band. Sure. And we worked together years ago in that ensemble. Chris Schaus is the mandolin player in this band, and he used to be front person for the 23 String Band.
Oh,
and they kind of hit it big, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, something like that. And but, yeah, he was the guitar player in that band. He's the mandolin player in Wolf Pen Branch. And then I'm playing the banjo and singing. Of course, I had my own band in Kentucky for years with my twin brother and have my own, you know, career as a songwriter, et cetera. Our bass player, his name is Roddy Puckett. He's sort of a Lexington, Kentucky staple in all kinds of music. He's a rock and roll guy, played in all sorts of sort of deadhead bands and bluegrass bands for many years. He played in a band called Green Jeans and in the Bluegrass Collective and a bunch of different groups through the years. But our newest member of the band, when we started out, Katie Penn was playing the fiddle with us. And she got so busy that we sort of really lucked out because we were getting ready to lose you know, a wonderful member of the group, and Katie, because she was so tied up. But we got really lucky that Jeff Guernsey wanted to come play fiddle with us. And I don't know if you know Jeff or not, but he's no household name. But we were talking a little bit earlier about some people that are sort of overlooked or unsung heroes in the music business. And Jeff is certainly one of those guys. He spent 10 years working with Vince Gill and Steve Warner when they were both, you know, in their prime in the 90s, Grand Ole Opry stars. And so he brings a lot of wisdom and humor and
a lot
and
of
fun
experience too.
Yes, for sure. All of the above. He's been a hero of mine. He lives in Southern Indiana. He's the only non-Kentuckian in the band, but he's been a hero of mine for the better part of 20 years. And I've never known him to get excited to go out and play on the road with a band until now. So we all joke that that must be a compliment to what we're doing.
We've talked here and we've just met and talked about the duties that you've done. We featured a lot of it on Unreal Bluegrass.
Can't thank you enough.
Well, yeah. There's all kinds of music people can find from you. There's Wolfpin Branch. Is that music going to be accessible to
It is. We've currently got six, depending on when this show runs, six, seven singles out there for the general public, available on all streaming platforms, et cetera. And we've got four more songs in the can. It seems to be the theory now, the plan to push one song at a time until you get seven or eight, and then
you've noticed that, and I have too, and you have not only as an artist, but Aaron also has a great radio show out of Louisville.
Yeah, and I think that's the way of the current method of operation seems to be release singles, and then when you get half a dozen of them out, put a whole record out. So that's what we're doing. The next step is we've got four more in the can, and we're working on mixing, getting all that mastered and ready for distribution. We'll press vinyl and everything. We'll sell tens of copies of it, I'm sure.
the single thing, I've noticed more and more that you get email, I do, of artists. Here's our latest thing. It might be one cut. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Put it in the system and get ready. Yep. And then I think they're doing a couple things there. Number one, they don't want to overwhelm the on-air people or the listening audience. They decided to get one or two in there and get them locked on that and then release an album. Plus, this, you're not old enough probably to remember this, although you probably have some inherited 45s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when I was a kid,
45s were great.
45 single. Mm-hmm. Then you got a new Beatles album. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like it's backed up to where singles are becoming the intro to whatever album.
It totally is, especially introducing the concept of a record, of a bigger picture, and you can introduce a song or two. And, I mean, I think a lot of it is people trying to capitalize on, get the most bang for their buck. It's a big investment to make a record. So the more you can kind of create a steady stream of consciousness surrounding a buzz about your music, the longer you can kind of make that last, the better. Because if you put out the 12 songs at once and it's here today, gone tomorrow, 3 months from now, everybody's forgotten about it.
The first person I know that did that, or did the one at a time, was Tim O'Brien several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He released a couple singles, and then a single. Then all of a sudden, he had an album. It was one of the funkiest.
Yeah.
Remember the one where he did some James Brown stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had all those out already as singles. And then he reissued them as an album.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty neat approach, I think.
It seems to be the way to do it now. But I am excited to get it all together because I'm also a little bit nostalgic about having a whole project and listening to it all at once.
I agree with you. I love liner notes. I love reading all this stuff, who produced it and who did this and where it was. To me, but I go, you mentioned LPs. That's what it was when I was a kid. I read all that stuff and learned all that stuff. But I still try to do the same thing now. There's just not as much space to read.
It's especially important when there's a concept record, when it's not just an album, a collection of current material from a band. It's maybe a concept thing. Like, honestly, it might be a good segue into this brother duet project
I'm working on.
Yeah,
I want you to talk about everything again.
Yeah. So I've been working on. Adam and I have a twin brother who plays music as well and sings. He's a great singer, and we've been singing songs together for almost 20 years, something like that. And some of these songs, we're finally making a record of duets, and a lot of them are like historical brother duets by the Monroe Brothers, Delmore Brothers, the Leuven Brothers, and so on, Stanley's and Jim and Jesse, and But some of them are exceptions to that rule. But we've made them into duets. It's a really cool concept. And my brother Adam picked out most of the material, just about all the material, and he sang the lead part on almost all of it. And then we worked together on all the rest of it, played up, produced, and got some great guest players on it. Michael Cleveland's on some of it, playing mandolin, fiddle. Jeff Guernsey plays some fiddle on it, as well as Steve Cooley jumps in on banjo on the track too. So some
Steve is a hidden gem down here.
Yeah, he's a great player. He plays on one track on the record too. He's one of my good dear banjo friends, just like you.
Oh, I don't know. I'll go for the friend that I'm a good banjo player. Every day I think I need to play more. I need to play more. I need to play more. Because if you quit, if you stop a day or so, you just well, you can tell as a performer. I bet you have to practice, even though you're very good. By the way, I've heard Aaron sing and play. It's top flight. You probably got to practice your vocals.
I mean, I sing every day. I know there's some people that write songs every day. I mean, I write songs, but I don't write songs every day. I sing every day, at some point throughout the day. And I play some kind of music, whether it's sitting down at the piano for an hour or leave a guitar out. A lot of times I'll leave the dobro out, very accessible to try to, because I need the most practice on that one.
But you were doing a piano thing the other day, and I forget, it was on Facebook or some social media. What was it? Something you woke up, you were struck with, and I thought, I didn't even know. Aaron,
I'll tell you, we'll connect it back to our geography right now. Okay. We're sitting in northern Kentucky, and the night before I recorded that video, I had come to Cincinnati to see the Doobie Brothers with Michael McDonald.
Right. That's right.
So I decided to sit down at the piano and play a little Michael McDonald.
That's why I thought that's so timely, because they were just here. That's what it was. They were over in Cincinnati.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was a great show. Incredible. John Callan was playing bass and singing all the high harmony. It was a great, great show way around.
What a great break they got. He's been with them for like 20-something years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But he can. You talk about a guy that can do.
He can do it all.
Musically, yeah. He can play bass.
Hero status.
He is. He's absolutely a legend. I remember when Sam was getting a new bass player, Sam Bush from Newgrass.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, and John shows up, and I heard the story from John and also from Sam. He plays bass. He played in a rock and roll band. Grew up around music his whole life. Opera, I think. I think his mother, one of his parents, mother was an opera singer. So it kind of explains it.
Trained vocalist, yeah.
And he says, I sing a little too. Sam says, I do the singing in this band. But then John sang a song. And he says, okay, you can sing too.
Yeah, he's like, I used to be the singer in this band.
I used to be the singer. That's right. Oh, that's right. That's what it was. I used to play piano.
A little bit. I mean, that's my first instrument. I grew up taking lessons. I had my nose in the book most of the time, so I didn't become an improviser until I started playing other instruments, the banjo and the guitar. But yeah, it definitely helped inform my song crafting sensibilities and rhythm.
You can see the whole idea right in front of you on a piano. Am I not right?
It's all right. There's only one place to hit that middle C note on the whole keyboard, whereas on a guitar or banjo, find four or five.
You're right. And more and more, the Osmond Brothers had a piano player in their band for a while.
Yeah.
And the keyboards are showing up more and more.
I haven't recorded a bunch of bluegrass with him. There's actually one track on this brother duet. We do the old Leuven Brothers classic, When I Stop Dreaming, and there's some piano on that. That's the most country song. The rest of the record is pretty solidly bluegrass, but that track in particular has a little pedal steel and piano, and it's sort of throwback to the Opry day.
You have a couple out now. Tell me the progress that you can tell.
Yeah, so we've got Wolfpen Branch has got some singles out. We're releasing another single. Then I'm Gone is the name of the next single. Then I'm Gone. No, that's the title of the next single. That's the title of the next single. And it'll probably be out by the time this airs. So check us out on Spotify or wherever your preferred streaming platform is. The Biebelhauser Brothers Project, we do not have a scheduled release for the full record yet. I just got the master files back today, so it's an exciting milestone. But we will be releasing at least three singles ahead of that, so look for a single in August sometime.
Make sure I get it.
End of August. You'll get it. You might get it before I leave here today.
Well, I know you got to drive back home. I appreciate you coming up. It's always good to see you. We just haven't. We're not that far apart, depending on traffic.
Which has been good today. I don't even want to mention the last time.
You were moving, man, because like I'm an hour late out, and I'm thinking he's got where we are pretty fast. So
yeah.
I'm not telling anybody to look for your truck on the way home. The white truck on the way home might be there. But you made up for that time when we couldn't get together for traffic. You were here.
Yep.
Like, I'm there.
This
man.
Time it was super convenient. It was great.
Oh, cool, man. Listen, I appreciate you. I appreciate your music that you
Thank
do
you.
And everything you do on the radio. I'm just a big admirer of everything that you're doing.
Right back at you, my friend.
I'll let you go. Let's get back home and do your business. And anytime you want to stop by, you know where I'm at.
Pick peace.
Pick peace. That's right. If you can spread that notion around, would you please? I'm trying. I'm trying. All right, brother.
Appreciate you.
All right. See you. Bye.